Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week.
We're going to be reading in Ephesians chapter 4. A few announcements, actually just one specifically, is that we have a congregational meeting. I know your notes say 12:30, but it's actually at 12 o'clock. All right, so don't come at 12:30, you'll miss half of it. So at 12 o'clock right here, right afterwards, we have a lot to cover. And so we would love for you to be a part of it. If you're a member, you'll be able to vote. And so, but everyone is welcome. I'm going to ask Joanne to come up, and if she could, she's going to read for us Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16.
Did you turn it on?
I got it. Yep.
Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love.
Thank you, Joanne. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We would ask that, Lord, as we are going through this passage, that it would bring great understanding and revelation into our spiritual walk with you. I pray that, Lord. I just ask for your Holy Spirit. Only you can provide this revelation and understanding. And that, Lord, that you would provide that into each of our hearts, right where we need it. And so we pray this and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Dave spoke on living a life a manner worthy of the calling that you have received. This week, as we are kind of looking at it, what he is describing is the strategy in which God intends to work and use on the earth today to accomplish his kingdom work. And the fact that you play a role in that. That's the calling, part of the calling that you've received, that you're part of this. And he begins in chapter 4, verse 7, and he says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? Now, I spent quite a bit of time on this little this little spot right here, because it's a little bit confusing. All right? And there's a lot of things that we could say, but as I worked through the passage, I worked through these words that are in here, one of the things that came out is that in Psalm, he is quoting in this passage, Psalms 68:18. And in 68:18, he is describing this king's processional. What I mean by that is that when a king in that time period would come back in victory, he would march into the city, and he would lead captives of people who he had just conquered, and then he would give the spoils of his victory to the people. And so the image that he has here is that Jesus, that when he ascended after his resurrection, he went in a victorious parade. He was leading captives. And those captives, as you can imagine, would be the fact that he had victory over sin, death, and has power, dominates completely over Satan himself. Everything has been laid at his feet, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All things come under him. And so there's a description here, is that that person who descended, meaning he descended to the earth at his birth, also ascended back to heaven, gave gifts to men. And those gifts he's given to his entirety, I shouldn't say not just men, but gave gifts to his people. And those who have given their life to Christ, his church, he gives gifts. So the first part is that Christ's death and resurrection made him a conquering king. He is describing that here. Secondly, he gave the church the following positions. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. Now, I want to talk about that and go through what that is. Now, these are specifically four different offices that he has given to the church for a purpose. The first one is an apostle. Now, apostle, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, this is how Paul describes apostle. He's speaking of himself. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? And are you not my workmanship in the Lord? The apostles were foundational for spiritual growth. They were foundational for all of Christianity. But they had to have been appointed by Christ himself, and they had to have seen the risen Lord. Now, Paul, who wrote Ephesians, came afterwards and saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he was appointed by Jesus to go to the Gentiles. And so he writes a good chunk of the New Testament, right? And so the apostles were appointed by God, saw the risen Lord, and they actually were able to teach, and actually were able, it says in Acts chapter 2, that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so they held this authority to write scripture. And so almost all of the New Testament was written by the apostles. Now, the question might be in your mind, is the office of the apostle still in play today? Well, if they saw the risen Lord, they'd be pretty old, right? So the reality is that no, that office of apostle in which they walked in such authority that they were able to write scripture, that is over. But that word apostle means a messenger, a sent one. So in a general term, there are people who are sent out, who are messengers of the gospel, and who are still, some people might call them apostles. Now, I don't really personally think that that's a great idea, because I think it's a little confusing. I think that you can use that term apostle, and it feels like it carries so much more weight. All right? So I think that the term or the office that was used at that time is past, but people are still being sent out. Missionaries are still going forward. People are still planting churches. And so that concept of an apostle is still in effect in that way. Secondly, the prophet. Here's an office of the prophet. Now, in the Old Testament prophets, which wrote nearly all of the Old Testament. So therefore, they were moved along by the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God. So there is the Old Testament prophet. And in Deuteronomy, it describes kind of like a prophet. It says, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. So this idea was that there is an Old Testament prophet. And if he didn't speak, if he spoke a word that God had given to him and it didn't come true, he was to be killed. So you might want to, you know, when you're saying it, you might want to make sure it's from the Lord. That Old Testament prophet, they spoke, and it was very foundational to our faith because they wrote almost all of the Old Testament. So we have the apostles and the prophets who laid this foundation for us by writing his word. And now there's this gift of prophecy, a prophet that is a New Testament prophet, not to be confused with an Old Testament prophet. Because there's a New Testament prophet in which it's used, that word prophet is actually used of many people in Acts. And what is a New Testament prophet? A New Testament prophet is someone who uses and really has the gift of prophecy. You can see it throughout Scripture, but specifically, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 16, it describes this gift. It says this gift is really important. And what God does is that God gives them a word that they hear from the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, and they speak it to a person, and it encourages them in their spirit. And so that is what a gift of prophecy is. It is to be used wisely. It is not to be used in a thus saith the Lord, because it doesn't come with the same amount of authority that the Old Testament prophet had. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 through 21, it says, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good. I don't know about you. If anybody had someone come up to you and said, hey, I don't know why, but the Lord just kind of laid something on my heart for you. And they give you a word. Has there anybody ever had somebody do that? Just raise your hand. A few of you have had that. I have had that where people have come up to me and I'm literally, they don't know me from Adam. And they say, this is, I don't know what this is, but the Lord put this on my heart for you. And it has spoken directly to my spirit. Like I almost like sense the Lord speaking it to me. That's been cool. I've had other people give me that phenomenon, like, I don't know where you got that from, brother. Right? So you have to test everything. But God's given these four positions, these apostle, the prophet. Then thirdly, he gives us the evangelist. Now, this is probably one that's pretty simple. We're like, oh, everybody knows that. That's that weird guy. Right? They're out there doing anything. They don't care at all. All they care is like getting the word out. They're out there just sharing the gospel wherever they're at. And here's the weird thing is that they share the gospel and just people say, yes, I want that. Why? Because they're empowered by the Spirit of God. They have this gift of evangelism. Now, some of you are like, yeah, that's great. Let him do it. Right? But that's not the idea. The idea is that God's called all of us to evangelize. He's called all of us to reach lost. There are some people who walk in this gift, who they sit down beside someone on the plane, and they're just like, pretty soon they're like leading them through a prayer, right? To accept Christ. And it's just powerful. And I grew up in this age of Billy Graham. Like when I was young, Billy Graham was that. He would literally fill stadiums. How many of you here remember that? Okay. How many of you accepted Christ at a Billy Graham crusade? Is there anyone here? Isn't that interesting? You know why? Powerful, accepted Christ. A lot of people accepted Christ. But here's the reality. 85% of the people that come to know Christ through a friend or a family member. So you can't rely on the evangelists. We're all called to do that. But evangelists, I worked with Pastor Lou in Myanmar. I don't know, we are supporters of his. And what we would do is specifically in that ministry is that there would be areas that just had never heard the gospel. They're in the middle of nowhere. I know because I was out there. I was like, it's nowhere land. And they would send in an evangelist. They'd know it. Here's an area way out in the middle of the sticks. And like, they'd never heard the gospel. They send the evangelist first. And they share the gospel. And then they bring in the pastors and to begin implanting a church. It's kind of basically the people that go before. And so God has given, he's given apostles, he's given prophets, and he's given evangelists. And the last one is this. He's given shepherds and teachers to shepherd the flock. Now here, he's what Paul says to Timothy. And Timothy was not an apostle, but he was a great shepherd. Matter of fact, Paul really had a high esteem of Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, this is what he charges. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So God has given the role of a shepherd and teacher to be able to teach the word of God and to use gifts that God has given to them to accomplish that task. I know what you're thinking. You're like, so you say that you're like a gift from God to us? It's not what I'm really saying, but it's kind of what Scripture is saying, all right? But this role and these positions are given to the body of Christ specifically for a purpose. Now let's look in verse 12 as he describes this purpose. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. The role of the positions that God has given to the church specifically is equip the body to do the work of the ministry. When I read this for the first time, that it really hit home, like where the Spirit of God like revealed it into my being, I realized that I had been like working for the last 10 years in ministry, and I'm just like feverishly trying to do the work of the ministry. And I don't know about you, if you think about that, like if it's all on us as pastors and this role, on these roles to do the work of the ministry, we absolutely would die under the pressure. Like there's no way we can do it. There's no way that we can care for each one of you at with where you're at. That's not a possibility. And so the strategy that God gives, he's like, what I would desire for you is that you would equip the body to do that work. How do you equip, and what does it mean to equip? The idea behind equip is to make someone fully ready, capable, and prepared for a specific purpose. Our purpose is to do the work of the ministry, and our goal is to fully prepare you for that. So here's the question. How do we do that? How do we try and accomplish that on a daily basis or on a weekly basis here? Here's the first thing. We preach the word. You understand what I'm saying? Is that we are not here to tickle your ears. We are going to speak the word of God to you how we see it and how it's in his word. Here's why. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter Timothy 3, 16 and 17. This is what it says. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see that? Our goal is that you would fall in love with God's word. That it would, if you would cut you, it would bleed scripture. That there is so much a part of your life that scripture is that you begin, you just are just saturated with scripture, and it's what's on your mind constantly. Because when you have the word of God completely going in your life consistently on an ongoing basis, there is something powerful that the Spirit of God uses to bring transformation in your life and to equip you for every good work. I heard a guy the other day sharing like the differences between if you were to just pick up the Bible once a week compared to if you picked it up four times a week or five times a week, where it actually begins to transform your life. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the word of God is living and active and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, dividing even soul between soul and spirit, if that were even possible. It has the ability to do something that we cannot have on our own. The Holy Spirit says it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? Which means the Spirit of God uses the word of God, penetrates your soul. And so as you are going through life, if the word of God is not on your, is not in your life consistently, there's a good chance that change is not happening. There's a good chance that you're not being equipped. And so our goal is at least once a week that you would hear the word of God taught. And we like to preach on a consistent basis through the word of God so that you understand, here's how you can read it. This is how you can understand it. This is how you tear it apart. This is how you put it back together again. You preach the word. You listen to the word. I love it. People go to, they're like, man, I got 30 minutes on the road. I can just plug in and listen to the word of God. How powerful is that? How about just memorizing one verse a week? How powerful is that? It would change your thinking. We try and equip you with the Word of God. We believe that people grow when they are in relationship with one another. Now, you knew I was going to get to life groups at some point, didn't you? When you think about consistently, whenever he talks about the body of Christ, which is us, it's within relationship. We challenge, we encourage, we equip each other. We come alongside one another. That is the concept that God uses to develop you spiritually. And so when we're talking about how we're trying to equip you, is that we are trying to get you into smaller groups and smaller settings, because you can come into this place and you can walk out and no one knows your name. No one knows what's going on in your life. No one knows what you're struggling with. Nobody knows the sins in your life. And you just walk out. Spiritual maturity does not happen in that setting. God has called us to be a body that functions. And so our goal is to get you into relationships, whether it is a life group, whether it is one-on-one discipleship or one-on-two, whether it's in men's ministry or women's ministry or children's ministry or serving together. I mean, our youth ministry, I mean, we can just keep going. These are the things that we're trying to do to bring you into relationships with one another that can encourage and build one another up. That's the concept. We're not doing this because we just like to create activity. It's because we want to equip you to do the work of the ministry. We encourage every person to be in a discipling relationship. What I mean by that is that you are intentionally pouring into someone else to spiritually help them grow. And you are intentionally being in a relationship with someone who is more mature than you, who is pouring into you. I call it upstream and downstream. You got to be pouring downstream, and you also got to have something pouring to you from upstream. All right? And we encourage every person to have those two people in their life, at least that, who are doing that in their life. And I'm going to say this, is that when you are doing this to someone else, it keeps you accountable yourself. When it's like important, like, hey, I got to lead this person, I got to get on it. I've got to start praying because I don't have the ability to do this. You're right, none of us do. We have to be dependent upon the Lord, and that's what happens when you begin pouring into other people's lives. God works in you as well, and it's powerful. So we encourage every person to be intentionally doing that, and we encourage and equip you on how to share your faith and live sent. That's what we've been doing on a monthly basis. You'll see people, and there's this stories of living sent, and what we're trying to accomplish is people that are, wherever they go, whosever relationship they're in, that they are saying, this is what God's called me to, is sharing the gospel, to do the work of the ministry. So that is how we are trying to accomplish this role of equipping you to do the work of the ministry. The role of the church, the body as a whole, is to bring people into spiritual maturity. Look at verses 13 through 16. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we grow up into every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from the whole body joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This whole description is a description of spiritual maturity. It's all of our roles as being a part of the body of Christ to build up the body into spiritual maturity. He says the unity of faith, like the understanding the gospel, the knowledge of the Son of God, placing our faith and being in a relationship with Christ. And then it begins to talk about growing and what spiritual maturity looks like. He said this in verse 14, so that you may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves. I don't know about you, but when we think about spiritual maturity, there's something that happens when someone matures in their walk with the Lord, that we go from being riding these waves and having them go up and down and bouncing us all over the place to being more and more level. The more that you know Him, the more level your walk with Him is. I'm amazed sometimes. Some people will come up and they're like, they're freaked out over a situation. It's like, well, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But maybe I just not recognizing it, because the immaturity of it is that we're so used to controlling life on our own. Right? I mean, we want to control this thing. And when it comes out of our control, we have to be willing to surrender it. And the more that we mature in our walk with the Lord, the more that we have the ability to surrender control and say, God, wherever this goes, I'm going with You. I know that You have me. About 2 years ago, my sister gives me a call. And my sister, she has gone through it. I'm just going to say this, is that her husband has Parkinson's and is in a home. And if you've ever gone through that and watching somebody go through that, it is a terrible disease. And she has one son. She was able to only have one child. And she said to me, you know, Zach has just shared with me that he's been an alcoholic for years. And he's been hiding it for years. And it's bad. He's in the hospital right now. He's with, his liver is really shot. And it took us all by surprise. And he checked himself out of the hospital and said he's not drinking anymore. And he did. A week later, checked back into the hospital. My sister calls me, and she goes, they just put Zach on hospice. I'm like, what? He's 27 years old. I got in the car, drove to Indiana, and sat with her and watched my 27-year-old nephew die. I'm talking about a storm there. To watch your only son die. But there was something that I knew about my sister. I knew this, is that she had a deep, abiding relationship with her Lord. And that as hard as this is, that she could walk through it. For simply one reason, because of her maturity in her walk with the Lord. She does, sure, she's grieving, but she knows her Lord. And she leans closer and closer into Him because she absolutely has to. I'm going to say this to you, is that the most important thing in your life is like, how do I grow in maturity so that I am not riding these waves consistently in my life, one drama to the next? It takes this point in your life where you say, I am going to intentionally do whatever it takes in order for me to begin growing spiritually. I'll study His Word. I'll let it pour into my life. I'll get involved with people. I'll do whatever it takes in order for the body of Christ to help me in this process of growing up in Him. But you have to be intentional. It just doesn't happen. You have to engage in it. When this happens, not only do you begin to level out and you begin to live like you have a purpose and a hope, but what happens is that you can start to see the truth of what's going on around you. You begin to recognize good doctrine. You begin to recognize what is true, and you begin to see the deceitful schemes of the enemy that is attacking you consistently, and you're like, no, that is not true, and you reject it. That's what maturity does. It sees those things, and it rejects the enemy. And your life is focused around the person of Christ, and you begin to function in the body, using the spiritual gifts that God has given to you. And it's powerful. I want to say this, that there is no place in this scenario for the Lone Ranger. You're on your own. You're just doing your own thing. There is no place in the scenario of this passage of Scripture where it says the whole body comes together and is held together by every joint and part, every part of it all focused around the person of Christ. There is no place for the Lone Ranger. If you're alone and you're going through life alone, you need to stop. You need to engage in the body. You are part of a body. You're part of a whole body. And the whole purpose of the whole body is to help build you up. So encourage you in that. And I'm just going to say this. We need more maturity. We need the body of Christ to be more mature. And let me tell you why. Because the capacity of a church is based on its maturity. What I mean is this, is that if every one of us is new in our faith and we don't know the Lord and we haven't known the Lord for very long and we're not very mature, how is it that we have a capacity to come alongside of others who don't know and who need our help to help mature them? We need more maturity in order for us to have greater capacity as a body to bring more people in. That's what we need. That's what he's called us to. That's what he's calling you to. We desire you to fully engage in the body of Christ so that you can be equipped, so that you can mature in your walk with the Lord, so that you can use your gifts to build up the body of Christ. And God will use this maturity in your life to give you direction, to give you purpose, to give you this place in your life where you allow the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm praying and asking over the body of Christ right here, that God, that they would engage in you, that they would begin to study your word, that they would begin to pour out their life to you and say, I'm surrendering to you. And Lord, I just pray for you to do a work in us, that you would revive us, and that God, that you would increase the capacity of this body of Christ by maturing its believers. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.